You guys are listening to the Nicholas Paul Arnold Hour, and today I'm joined by the one and the only Ryan Van Pooter. Ryan, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great, man, and nice job on pronouncing my last name.
Did I do it correct? I did
you
my
nailed
due diligence.
It, bro. That was,
okay,
that
what
was
do you
excellent.
Normally get?
Oh, man, do you have an hour? It's like endless versions of my last name for sure, but that was very well done.
What's the craziest attempt you've heard? Like the most like off one that you've heard that doesn't even sound anywhere close.
Yeah, it's like they always get the poo right, you know, Van Poo, but then after right. that it just goes messy. Van Pooter Uyen or
what is that?
Ruyen, it's Dutch, very Dutch.
Dutch. Okay, I was gonna say Armenian, but I was like, wait a minute, he doesn't look Armenian.
Yeah, no, it's my dad's 100% Dutch, so that's where the name gotcha. Comes from. Yep.
Gotcha. I wanted to. I've always known like you had an interesting like long last name like that, and I remember yesterday, I went ahead and I looked up like some old interview that you did where you said your name. I was like, all right, I got to find out how to say his name the correct way. Just don't want to act like a jackass.
Nice work.
So. See, that's what you got to do, you know, when you're trying to get into the podcast world, you got to know your crowd.
Yeah, that's exactly it, man.
But in case anyone might not know, they live under a rock, you want to go ahead and list the things that you're known for or what you're currently doing?
For sure. Yeah. So my name is Ryan Van Pooteroyen, as you already said. Excellent. Right. Very well. I'm professional drummer, educator. I'm also a motivational speaker. I'm also into health and fitness, but what I am primarily known for, or I owe my professional career to, is being the drummer for Devin Townsend Band and Devin Townsend Project for about 15 years. Currently,
you've been through all that.
Yeah, I went through all that. And then currently, I started a brand new band when Devin Townsend Project broke up. I started a new band with Brian Waddell from Devin Townsend Project. Lead singer John Howard from the band Threat Signal, Kai Hoopinen from Methods of Mayhem, Noise Therapy, and Scott Whalen from Econoline Crush. And we called our new band A Monolith. And it's brand new. We just released our album in March, right in the midst of COVID-19, right. But I'm sure we'll talk about that. But yeah, that's a new thing. That's what I do. I've been doing, you know, professional career for 18 years now.
Wow. And, you have an extensive career, but I would say primarily like, you know, you going back like to the Devin Townsend, project, like you were there from like the beginning all the way up till like through the end, like with the band and the project segment, like you were like there, like throughout all like the changes. Cause you can hear a drastic change from like the very first, like solo up to like now there's like a huge difference. I'm sure like, just like, you've seen so many like positive changes, like in so many different ways, being part of it for so long, huh?
Yeah, I saw the evolution, or part of the evolution of Devin. Like, I wasn't there for Devin's first solo records, Ocean Machine, right. Infinity, Terria, Physicist. I wasn't there for that stuff. Gene Hoagland recorded drums on most of those, except Ocean Machine, which is a different drummer altogether. But, right. You know, through the rest of it, you know, from Synchestra, Accelerated Evolution, all the way up to Transcendence, you know, I was part of including live albums. I think it was 12 or 13 things I recorded for Dev. So
yeah,
I was, I was kept busy, you know, the whole time. It's like, we were pretty much hammering out an album, almost every year, year and a half is what it averaged out to. So it was a pretty awesome experience, great time,
right?
You know,
and then I'm on a lot.
I love it.
You guys play shows, or
we played three shows to date, and that's when we that was like early 2019 because we released our single Hollow, and then we were going to go in and record our album.
Gotcha.
And before we went in to record the album, we wanted to play some shows, but then we had a tour that was booked for Europe, UK in March of this year, and obviously that got canceled to COVID.
Yeah, and that's a bummer. It seems like everyone I know is like it kind of came left field for everyone. Like hell, like my band Gemini Syndrome, we were supposed to be on tour. We were supposed to have a show with Snoop Dogg this month, like
wow.
in Wisconsin. Yeah, crazy. So I'm right there with you, like feeling that pain, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, a lot of opportunities were taken away from not just bands, but crew members, promoters, venues. Right. Like, it's ugly out right. there right now. Yeah.
Do you see, I think it's unfortunate, you know, because like there's a lot of people that I looked up, you know, that I've looked up to, like professional. All right, we're back. Sorry about that. Yep. Technical difficulties. But we were touching back on what we were saying. Like it's a total shame. And I'm sure you, especially like you, even like being in a bigger, the more professional side, like spectrum side of the music, industry, like you've probably seen worse, losses, huh? Like in your colleagues and everything.
Yeah. Man, you know, like, okay. So for example, yesterday, I keep in touch with all my friends in the industry, and yesterday I had a call with Johannes Eckerstrom from Avatar,
the singer
of Avatar, and we're just shooting the shit, you know, and we're just going over, you know, all the different things of how it's affected different bands, and you know, out of respect right. for Johannes and Avatar, obviously I can't say what's going on with them, but it's the same thing right. with like Jens and Meshuggah. I talk to Jens Kidman all the time. We, you know, every right. Wednesday we FaceTime each other just to shoot the shit and catch up. And, you know, right. like, music obviously comes to play. And like those bands, the reason I'm bringing them up is, you know, like they still can get through this and they can, you know,
okay.
when music comes back, I think bands like them are going to be able to go to live shows, and my gut feeling is they're going to fucking pack places, man, because you know they're already bigger bands. Now you
right.
take a band like a Monolith, and we're brand right. spanking new. We were supposed to tour in March, and the whole 6-week tour got canceled. We have to reschedule the whole thing, which we're right. doing right now. And you know, it's like, regardless, it's probably going to be a year after their original tour that we're going to be able to go out there and do it. So now our album, which came out the same day the tour was supposed to start in March, on March 27th, is right. sitting for a year. You know, and we're yeah. doing everything we can as a band to keep our followers interested and you know, like all that
right.
stuff, right?
And that's got to be so unfortunate, like the timing, you know? Ugh.
Yeah. And yeah, it's the worst, right?
Yeah.
It's the worst. And
no, I understand.
And you know, you're just left with a bunch of question marks. Like, so how is this actually yeah. going to pan out? You know?
Right.
And that's kind of where we're at, man. So, you know, it affects everyone in different ways. Our booking agent, you know, like our booking agents, they're having a hard time. You know, they're like, how are they going to book gigs when they don't know if they're actually going to go through? You know, it's right. like, all the crew that you have working for these different bands, they have nothing right now. Like right. it goes right down the ladder, you know, to the yeah. people who work at the box offices, to the people who, run the venues, the promoters. Like it's just endless how many people have lost jobs and, you know, are going to be forced to do something different because it's going to be a while yeah. before this gets going again. So, luckily for myself, I'm a teacher, you know, I'm an educator, and online lessons, if anything, have increased just because now people want to be at home, they want to be safe. So what's safer than learning an instrument over the internet, right? So,
right.
you know, that's been good for me, and I'm glad that I was proactive, I guess you can say, in earning multiple income revenues.
Right.
So that has really helped me. But not everyone is that proactive. Some people put all their eggs in one basket and they're hoping, you know, that this continues. And who would ever thought that, you know, something like this would take down the entire industry?
Right.
You know, it's just unfortunate. Something you don't think about, but it's something, you know, you can never, ever plan for.
It's eye-opening.
It is. But, you know, maybe moving forward, this will teach a lot of people lessons in new ways that, you know, if there's a relapse or something like this comes around again, we can be better prepared or have multiple right. sources of income coming in. Like,
right.
man, it's, you just can never predict this, man.
Hell, I even told you the other day when we were chatting, I'm involved with stock options, and I was telling you certain things to look into if you did it. Like, you kind of have to you have to have like you have to have a plan. I'm learning. Like, I'm only 29, but playing, I don't know if you I doubt you've heard of my band Gemini Syndrome, but they're right in that they're the biggest thing I've been part of. And they're pretty big. I'm not famous, but like the band I'm in is, and I sometimes have to remind myself that. And because I'm humble, like no, again, no one knows who I am. And the type I never wanted to be one of those douchebags at NAMM, that like they're the higher. Guns that no one knows or cares about, just the bands they play for. I never wanted to be like that kind of douche. And I keep myself in check, but now that like I'm doing bigger things, like fuck, like we're supposed to play with Limp Bizkit and Snoop Dogg this month. Like huge festival shows. We had, Sony was supposed to release our third album. Like everything's ready to go. And I had to learn like I have to generate multiple streams of income, like you mentioned, and that's why I got into the stock op, the call options, like I was telling you about. There's a lot of way you a lot of ways you can make money. It's just you
There
got to be
is
smart.
you got to be smart, you got to be diligent, you got to do your due diligence. There's a research. That's the only thing I'm going to tell people listening to this episode of your podcast is, hey, if you want to move forward and you want to do something you love, the best way you're going to make money is by doing something you love, hands down.
Right.
Do what you love, love what you do every day. But if you're going to do anything in your life, the best advice I can give you, man, because I've done it over and
Right.
over and over, is research the fuck out of shit, man.
Right.
Just research. Make sure you do your due diligence. You're informed as much as you possibly can be, and then
Right.
move forward with confidence.
Right. And yeah, and you are a very accomplished drummer. Like I know, like I've always loved your drums. Like in anything you did with
Thanks, man.
Devin or the new project, like I can tell you're playing just by hearing it. Has anyone ever told you that? Like you have a certain sound and like style, like and dynamic that is very recognizable.
To me, that is probably, and thank you, that is probably the nicest and best compliment anyone can receive. And I've always said that in interviews as well, because the bottom line is you can be the fastest, you can be the craziest, you can do the most stick twirls or
Right.
whatever the fuck, right? But when someone says, oh my, hey, that's RVP, man. That's
Right.
RVP drumming, and they can recognize it. Usually people recognize my drumming from specific grooves that I have, but the cymbal work. Lots of people love the cymbal work. I do
Yeah.
have tons
Yeah.
of cymbals, but it's recognizable to people. And when people say that they can recognize someone from their drumming, it's like, I know when Neil Peart drums. I can tell
Right.
it's him. I know when it's Mike Portnoy. It's like, oh, okay, that sounds like Mike Portnoy. I
Yeah.
knew when Vinnie Paul would drum. It's like listening to a guitar solo. I heard the guitar solo on Saturday Night's All Right for Nickelback. I know Daniel there from Nickelback. They all live in
Okay.
the city and stuff. But anyways, it's like I heard that song for the first time, and I'm like, I heard the guitar solo. I'm like, that's fucking Dimebag. You know what I mean? And
Really?
sure enough, it was Dimebag doing the
On a
guitar
Nickelback
solo.
song?
Yeah, man. And but that's like same with Eddie Van Halen. When you hear Beat It, you're like,
Oh
that's Eddie.
yeah.
That's Eddie Van Halen. Like that's the those are just examples of
It's little
it's
nuances,
a
it seems.
yeah, and it's a huge compliment. I think it's the biggest compliment any musician can receive, because it's them, it's their own. There's a quote that I always stand by, that I always say to all my drum students. I talk motivational seminars, all that stuff, by Judy Garland. And the quote is, be a first rate version of yourself, not a second rate version of someone else.
Yeah. And that kind of goes along with because I personally don't like it when I see musicians who try and they try to be like become their heroes. Like you can listen to somebody, you can tell, okay, this guy's heavily. Now, that's nothing wrong with being influenced. I'm sure you have your influences. Like, but what I think what separates the amateurs from the pros is what you do with your influences and how you turn it into your own. Like that's what makes a pro, I think. You know what I mean?
100%, man. that's the way I view it too. And I think that's what I encourage all my drum students to do. Just be yourself. I always include a ton of improvisational, like drum lessons when I teach.
Right.
And the reason I do that is so they can start creating the drummer that they're going to be from everything that right. I've been teaching them. And a lot of them, you know, I get a lot of people who've been following me for years and, oh, you know, I want to drum like you. And the first thing I tell them is I don't want you to drum like me. I will not teach right. you to drum like me, because this is something my dad said. And I say to the students, I always tell them, it's like, you will never be better than me at being me. You know what right. I mean? And the reason I say that now, thanks to my dad, is I'll tell you a quick story, is when sure. I was growing up, I wanted to learn everything Rush, because that was my band, you know?
Right.
So Neil Peart was my biggest influence. Rest in peace, Neil. And, you know,
man,
it's
what a
like,
shit year. We yes. had a fucking shit year.
I just don't even get into that, man. It's just
yeah.
filled with negative. Yeah. But, you know, so I'm growing up, I learned, by the time I'm 16, I can play every Rush album, you know, up to,
right.
you know, Hold Your Fire or whatever. I knew it right. all, man. And loved it, right? And I started playing original bands and, excuse me. And my dad would listen to, you know, the music, and I just sound like a miniature Neil Peart, right? And my dad was like, why are you trying so hard to be a Neil Peart? You know, I'm just like, oh man, like his drumming's awesome. I want to be like that. And my dad said what I just told you. He goes, Ryan, you will never be better than Neil Peart. I'm like, fuck, thanks, dad. Thanks for the support, man. You know, right. he goes, no. He goes, what I mean by that, no one is going to be better at being Neil Peart other than Neil Peart.
Right.
He will always be that. He created his sound. And this always stuck with me. And he was like, create the RVP sound. Create that Ryan Van Puteroyen sound. That's what you want. And you will right. see so many great things come from it. And I never forgot right. that, man. And I worked on me. And
right.
that's what I did for years. And through Devin, I was able to build a specific style that worked for his music, but it also worked for my career.
It meant, I would say you're, one thing, and I know I'm acquainted with Devin, like it seems like every year at NAMM, we get closer and closer, and, he's the coolest guy.
He's awesome.
I remember not this past NAMM, but the NAMM before, I worked for Framis all weekend. Mm. So it was cool. I got to, like become more acquainted. You know, I got to hang with Devin all weekend, eating cake, talking gear and stuff. And he's a very peculiar guy. Like he knows what he's looking for, you know, what yeah. sound he wants. And yeah. it seems like he's very good at matching up with musicians who are able to carry out his vision. And he kind of yeah. seems like the metal Frank Zappa. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if everyone's sure. told him that, but you know, because Frank yeah. Zappa was one of those like maestros that everyone loved and respect, no matter what. He could like crap in a bucket and people would just love it, you know? Devin seems like that type of way too. And he works with like professional musicians like yourself who are able to, from what I gather, like help see that vision he has go through, but with your own feel. That's why I say like, I'm able to hear your drums when I listen to it.
Now, here's the thing, man. The job that anyone has to do when they work for Devin is to carry out his vision. He's very specific. Even with drum right. parts, he'll get very specific about what he wants. But even if you're being specific with those things, you can't help but be yourself. Your little nuances as a player, right. your feel, your drum fills, like all that's going to come out no matter what, you know? So right. that's where it was really cool to work with Devin, because he has a great vision for drums and drumming. But at the same time, you know, he did give me leniency to do my own fills and even to change beats and to come up with new things. If maybe I wasn't vibing on something, so I'd say, hey, Dev, what do you think of this? And he'd be, oh, I like that better. For example, there's this song called Grace. And he sent me the demo for it, and it was a completely different drum part.
That opening riff is insane, by the way. I have a hard time trying to – I've tried following along with that rhythm. It is like the most interesting rhythm I've ever heard.
And so I wrote that in a half hour when I had
that
a
rhythm?
Break. In, yeah, I had a break in between teaching drum students. And I wasn't vibing on what Dev had because it just reminded me of another song that he had done, but
okay.
It was just done in cut time. But it was pretty much the same beat. So I was just like, dude, what about this? I have this. And just have the guitars follow my kick work. And what that was now the beat for Grace. What the beat
how do you like Grace. How do you structure something like that? I mean, I understand like polyrhythms and, you know, I get it, but like in such a precise, like you said, half hour, like how do you, that's like pro quality right there. And
not necessarily, man. You know, it's like the thing is you go off your feel. You're going off the vibe of the song. There were certain parts okay. of that drum beat that Devin had, like the end part. That part was more polyrhythmic part. There were certain parts okay. like that I did take from the original beat he had. But the original, all of that was stuff that I came up with. And then I just hybrided little parts from what he had before together with it.
Right.
Put it together, presented it to him. It was an actual video, believe it or not, that I presented to him. Like, here it is, man. And I play it and he's just like, holy shit, yes, let's use that. And that's how that was born, right? But so little things like that, my drumming was able to come out. I was able to build myself as a drummer and present myself as who I am. And you know, that's how I got to where I am. And you know, I'm very grateful for all those years that I got to play with Devin. I learned a lot playing in that band, and I was able to present myself as a drummer in many different ways in that.
Do you have a favorite album that you were part of?
Yeah, probably Transcendence, not just because it was the last one we did, but it was also one where we got to write with Devin. We actually had a lot of songwriting credits on that record. And okay. I don't know, I just felt like it was the most mature, most full representation of everyone right. in that band, not just Devin. So there was right. a lot of pride involved in that. And that record did phenomenal for him. Like
that's great.
It rose us to a whole new level. Like the tour right. we did for a year and a half on that record, we were playing the biggest places we'd ever played. And you know what? Like all the work that we had done those past 15 years, you know, it
led up to that. Huh?
We had nothing to do with Empath at all, even though right. I got the demos for Empath. Because I was starting to learn it, but then Devin broke up the band. But, you know, like even his success with Empath, which is all Devin, of course, we helped build that. There is no question, man. You know, 15 years of slugging it out in the smallest venues all the way up to headlining festivals in Europe, you know, in summer festivals. It's like, I was still proud of what he was able to accomplish.
Of course, with Empath, you were too, part right? of that. You were part of that for sure. You, Dave, Mike, you know, you guys, I'm sorry, Beav. Sorry, I didn't want to forget him. Like, you guys were like the limbs for, Devin Townsend Band and Project. Like, not to say like, you know what I mean? Like, you guys made it happen for him. You know?
Here's the bottom line is Devin is the reason Devin is as famous as he is. Okay. But the bottom line is there's no way he would have ever gotten to where he is on a live stature without us, or if it wasn't us with four other dudes. You know what I mean? The bottom line is he needs that supporting cast with Empath and the great musicians he went out with and the success that they had. He wouldn't have had that, you know, if he didn't hire those musicians. And the great thing that Devin has is he has a really good ear for picking out phenomenal musicians to accomplish what he wants.
Yeah. You know,
so he's really good at that. And I commend him on that. And even
You know what? You're playing. I would say you're playing, though. Like, you know, he obviously knows when to stick with good musicians because he's stuck with you for so long. And it's obviously shown that it's been a good benefit.
Yeah. You know, I'd like to think so. You know, like, again,
like he wouldn't stick with you if you weren't working for him. You know what I mean?
I think the thing that he liked about me is I was super consistent and he knew that he could expect the same thing night after night after night on tour.
Right.
And if he gave me something, I wouldn't stop until I had it nailed. You know what I mean? Like the determination and the professionalism that I brought, he loved. You know, there's no question. Now, you know, Empath, there was some stuff on there, for example, I recorded that. Would I be able to play that now? Nope. You know, like the blast beats and the crazy, you know, 250 BPM right. kicks or whatever. You know, it's like, could I play that? Fuck, of course I could. It's just I would have needed 6 months to get my feet up into that shape.
Right.
Or, you know, it wouldn't have been immediate. You know, anything is possible. I could play anything on Empath confidently. I know, saying that I could right. easily play anything, but it would take me time. Because
the feel would probably be different too.
It would be, and I haven't trained myself to be that, like, for some of the record. There's lots of the record right. I could play no problem right now. But some of that record, there's definitely parts where I'm not that kind of drummer. I never trained myself to be, but
right.
I could train myself to be that, right? So that's why Devin went out and he got, you know, three or four drummers or whatever it was to play on that record, is because each drummer was suited
right.
to the songs and the parts that he wanted them for, right? So it was,
right.
it was really cool. So good on him. But that's how he's done his career. You know, it's like,
well,
he just looks for those people.
Well, you know what? I think you know, are very, you're very correct on everything you're saying, but you know, on your playing, I definitely do think that you were definitely a part of that driving force. So I want to commend you on that. And, I hope everything with a monolith like works out. I know Gemini Syndrome, we have stuff on the back burner now that was supposed to happen, but listen, I know you have a lesson at 10. I don't want to keep you. From your student,
I moved the lesson. I probably got about another 10 minutes because I told them we were having complications, so I can go for about another 10 minutes.
Oh, well, perfect. My dreams come true. but good. You know, it's a shame like that. They had to end, I guess, you know, when certain artists like feel it's time to move on, you know, I guess just when they're not. Not motivated, but I guess maybe not inspired. Maybe I guess the artist do. Cause I think if he were to say, hey guys, let's do a Devin Townsend project show, I'm sure that would be like sold out instantly.
I like to think so. You know, it's like just on my own social media and stuff, people are, they're all over it, man. You know, like they love everything that we did. They would love to see us get back together or at least do a reunion tour or something like that.
Right.
You know, so people, here's the thing with that band, that was the longest serving band he's ever done under his career, his name, Devin Townsend.
Longer than strapping, huh?
Yep, longer than that too. So it's like, you know, it's like that was the longest serving thing he did. So
right.
The thing is people really got to know us as Devin Townsend project, especially that
right. version.
And people, it became a family kind of, right? So there's a lot yeah. of people, of course, a lot of people were super bummed when they found out he pulled the plug on it, you know. And but I knew that they would get over that fast as soon as he would release a new record, you know. And, right. and a lot of people have, but it's surprising how much you know, PMs I get on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, whatever, where people are just like, oh, you know, I miss DTP. I hope you guys can do it again. Like, surprisingly, you still get lots of that mail, you know, and, yeah. and it's a good
and
feeling. It's like, it's a good feeling. It's like, okay, we did something cool that people really appreciate and they connected with us as a band. So it's a nice compliment, but, at the same time, I commend Devin for moving forward and doing what he really wants to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's funny. I remember talking to Gene. I'm always acquainted with like certain people, so whenever I see them, they're always like happy to see me, or they surprisingly remember me. Yep. Like I actually, like going back to Devin, I never forget, like I met him 1 year at NAMM, like 2015. Then the next year he remembered me. I was like, wow, okay. And then you know how like you start meeting people like and you get more and more acquainted with them yep. over time. Like I remember talking to Gene Hoagland briefly about strapping. He's like, yeah, man, like people would love to see strapping again, but Devin just doesn't want to do it anymore, you know. So yeah. it's a shame that when he's done with something, he seems like done, you know.
Yeah, yes and no, man. He's playing a lot of fucking strapping right now.
On oh tour. Really?
Oh dude, he played he did that 70,000 tons of metal, and I think they played four or five strapping songs.
Well, I stand corrected.
Yeah, like, hey, he said for years that he wasn't going to do that. And then he's just like, fucking, I need to represent everything. So, and you know what? I agree with him. You know what? Yeah. Dev, you wrote that music, dude. Fucking do what you want, man. You know,
it's like a night and day difference, though. If you look at old pictures of him, then like now he's like a different person.
Oh, totally different. Yeah. You know, but that's how it is, man. It's the same thing with the Monolith. Like when a Monolith came out, everyone was going to expect this crazy metal prog thing. And you know, I remember when Brian and I were writing, it's like, I don't fucking want to write that, man. It's like, I've done that. And that's not really where I'm at or where I've ever really been. It was just a gig that I landed, you know, and obviously I dug in and had a shitload of fun with it over the years, but I grew up on Pantera, man. Yeah. I grew up on Rush, but I also grew up on Pantera and Van Halen, you know, like stuff like that. And our main focus was do what you love. It's like, everyone's like, oh, how are you going to be different? So you know, you can break genres and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Dude, I'll tell you this right now. And I'll argue till I'm blue in the face with anyone on the face of this planet. It's all been fucking done, man. It's just little changes here and there. And you know what people are starting to lose the concept of? Write a good fucking song. And you know what? Right? There's so much shit when I go on to SiriusXM and I listen to stuff. I'm like, wow. You know, like, where's the fucking song? You know, people are just trying to fucking do you the fastest, craziest
shit. Well, everyone's trying to sound like Periphery now. Everyone's doing the Gent thing. Do you notice that? Like, nothing wrong with Gent. I mean, it's not really my thing, but have you noticed that everyone's trying to do, like, everyone's trying to follow what's popular on Instagram?
Yeah. You know, and that's the thing, man. It goes back to the quote, be a first rate version of yourself, not a second rate version of someone else. And the bottom line is, like, with a Monolith, are we doing anything groundbreaking? No, definitely. I'd be the first to say that. But are we trying to write songs that are catchy, that we love, and are songs? You know, it's like you can listen to it, and it's like, if we're going to give you a 3-minute song, it's going to kick you in the balls. We give you a 5-minute song, it's going to kick you in the balls. It'll have groove. It'll have just everything that we love and that we kind of grew up on. It's like, and here's the thing, man, is like, we got shit on a few times with some of the reviews, but I'd say 80% of the reviews were fucking stellar. You know,
I think he's a great singer.
Oh, I like John's his voice. Incredible, man. He's amazing.
He's got like a good he's obviously got a good metal voice, but he's got like some pipes though.
Mm-hmm. Dude can sing, man. So, you know, like that's the thing, is like when you look at it, that's what that band is we're doing what we really love, man. But we focused on the song as opposed to creating a new genre. That wasn't even in our sight. We were just like, man, let's just focus on what we think are killer songs, put it out there, and if people like it, they're gonna come out, they're gonna buy it. People have been buying the record. You know, I'm not gonna lie, COVID-19 is completely
fucked everyone
up. It's fucked our release, the whole bit. Just, but we're not the only band, so I'm not gonna bitch about it. You know, we're just pushing forward, we're putting out content for the people who follow us, and we're building. But the timing couldn't have been worse. You know, so the biggest thing too is touring. I mean, that's the biggest thing you can do to promote your record, is tour the shit out of it. And that was taken away from us, and it was all set up, man.
Where do you see things going? I mean, obviously no one knows, but you know, if you had like an intuition, like a gut feeling, like where do you see this going for the music industry? Like venue wise, like how they're going to run shows. Like,
I think It's obviously going to come back. The question is when. But when it does, my gut feeling is people are going to be starved for attention. And I think it's going to be with
when
new
protocols.
But I think...
You mean artists are going to be starved for attention?
No. I'm talking about the fans of the band.
Oh, okay.
I think they're going to come out in hordes, man. I think it's going to be as popular as ever. But the thing that remains to be seen is how are these shows going to be put on?
That's what I'm wondering.
Yeah, like that, I don't think anyone can answer, because your guess is as good as mine, man. Because
what are they going to do? Have people 6 feet apart in the audience? That's going to be like what? Like 200 people at a show. Like that's it.
That'd be the most messed up mosh pit ever, man.
I know, right? It'd be the...
How's that even fucking work?
I don't know.
You know, they're showing up in cars now. That's the new thing.
I heard that.
Drive-in style. It's like, imagine that mosh pit. It'd be fucking derby.
God, like imagine, yeah, derby mosh, but I like that. That's a good idea.
Right? Bring your shittiest car, have fun, you know. It's like,
yeah, but bring helmets.
Right. So I don't know. We'll see, man. I'm just remaining optimistic, positive, and pushing forward.
Well, yeah. I'll stay up to date, guys. I'm sure you and I will keep in touch. 100%. But I appreciate you coming on, dude. I appreciate you pushing your lesson a little bit just to continue to talk. But yeah, thanks so much for coming on. I enjoyed chatting with you, and I'm sure we could do this again in the future.
100%. Let's do it again, man. And now we got things figured out. It's the first time I've done a million interviews, dude. I've never done one on this app before, so it's a first time for me. So now I got it. So.
Yeah, well, I'm not Joe Rogan yet, so I don't have the luxury of having a studio. I'm working on it. You know, I've landed some big guests, but
got to start somewhere, man.
Yeah. So, well, listen, I don't want to keep you anymore, but again, thanks so much for coming on, and I'll let you know when this is up if you wanted to check it out or share it or whatever.
So. Yeah, I'll share it. Yeah, man. Of course.
Cool. All right, brother. Well, good talking to you, and I will chat later. All right.
Sounds great. Take care, Nicholas.
All right. See you, man. Yeah.